People Loved by God, thank you for almost 1 million downloads this year. Please help us reach more listeners in 2023 by making a year-end tax-deductible donation. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org/support.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
With a single word of command, he could have wiped out those who were slapping and hitting him. Instead, he silently stands and takes it. His almighty power would never have been seen as clearly if he had given them, in that instance, a taste of their own medicine. Instead, he manifests his power by reaching them the elixir of heaven itself, a love that cannot be chased away by any physical torment.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Luke.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last time, we listened as Jesus began the Sermon on the Plain, and remember how similar and yet how different it was from the way he began the Sermon on the Mount. Both started with Beatitudes, but in St. Luke, the Beatitudes seem to be, well, more earthy. He proclaimed those who are poor now, who hunger now, who weep now, who are trash-talked by others, all blessed. And why? Well, they have the kingdom as his gift, and that means they'll finally be satisfied and laugh and even rejoice that they share the same fate as God's holy prophets. And then he flipped the tables and immediately went into a series of woes. I suggested that the Beatitudes were spoken directly to the people who had crowded around him to hear him teach and to receive his healing, and that the woes are more directed to those who were too busy and preoccupied to gather together to hear Jesus. So woe to those who are rich, full, jovial, popular. They focus their lives on acquiring material goods, enjoying good food and company, and building up an earthly reputation. Sadly, none of that gets you into the kingdom. They spent their pilgrimage on earth in vain. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Luke 6, verses 27 to 31. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, you ready to ponder this amazing section? Let's get to it, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. You who hear, you who have come and gathered around me, you who are my beloved followers. What he is doing here sounds like commanding the impossible. And it is absolutely true that none of us, by dint of will, would ever be able to obey what he commands in these words. But realize that what he describes here is his own life. And thus, he's commanding us to partake of that life. He's reaching a share in his life to us. This is what communion with Jesus does. You hang around Jesus, you give ear to his words, you're going to be changed. And it shows up first and foremost in the way you learn from him to treat your enemies. Now, enemies here does not mean people you despise. It means people who treat you poorly and who make your life miserable. Jesus looks you in the eye and he says, love them. This is what he did and does. He cannot not love. I mean, he is love himself in human flesh and blood. So what does it mean to love? You must know by now he's not talking about cherishing some sweet feeling in your heart. He means instead letting communion with him who is love turn you away from the path of resentment and anger and hatred against all who mistreat you, and instead of responding in kind, to respond to them with what will surely be an utter surprise. Hence, verse 27 continued, do good to those who hate you. So there's the definition of the enemy. Those who hate you, you're not allowed to have anyone you hate, not if you're living in fellowship with Jesus. So he summons us to do good to the people who hate us. This is the Christ of the cross talking. Think about it. He took the worst thing that humanity could possibly ever do, killing him through whom we were created and to whom we owe our every breath, and he uses our hatred to do the greatest good that could ever be imagined. He does good to us in his death by wiping out our sin and canceling the sentence of the law that condemned us and overcoming our death. He did that for those who were his enemies. As Paul said so bluntly in Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So Jesus' marching orders to those who would live in communion with him is to ponder how to return good to people who treat us rottenly, and then to carry that good into action. That's how you love your enemy. As St. Paul captured it in Romans 12, reflecting on a passage from Proverbs, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Same idea. Do good. And Jesus mentions some specific pathways to that good. Verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Bless, I think, has the force of asking God to bless them. This forces you to take them in prayer with you before the presence of him who is love, and to ask him to give these troublemakers in your life all his great riches and blessings in Christ, to forgive them their sins, to grant them the grace of repentance. This is asking God to truly bless them. So you try it, and you tell me how long resentment can smolder in your heart when you've prayed for God to bless those who are giving you grief and those who break your heart. I'm telling you, blessing them, it's like throwing sweet baptismal water on the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz. You'll find your resentment melts faster than that lady did. And in the same vein, he adds, verse 28, continued, pray for those who abuse you. Think for a moment of St. Stephen. He preached a powerful sermon that totally angered his hearers. They drag him out of the city, and a hail of stones begins raining down on him. When such an unjust response to a preacher of the word happened in the Old Testament, we read in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 22, thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. And when he was dying, he said, may the Lord see and avenge. But Stephen had lived in fellowship with the crucified, who would pray even as the nails were driven into his hands and feet. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. So St. Stephen's prayer as he was dying was this. Acts 7, verses 59 and 60. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Saul was there that day, guarding the cloaks of Stephen's murderers. I think St. Stephen's prayer found an answer in Saul being converted to become St. Paul. Verse 29. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Again, hard as this verse is, remember the one who is commanding it. He quite literally did this in his holy passion. With a single word of command, he could have wiped out those who were slapping and hitting him. Instead, he silently stands and takes it. His almighty power would never have been seen as clearly if he had given them, in that instance, a taste of their own medicine. Instead, he manifests his power by reaching them the elixir of heaven itself, a love that cannot be chased away by any physical torment. But we're not done with the passion, and so he goes on, verse 29, continuing, and from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Do you remember how at the cross they even took away his garments, parting some of them, but throwing dice to see who would get the seamless garment that some loving hand had woven for him? He let his clothes be taken away, and he was stretched out naked on that tree, in order to give you and those who stole from him and me a garment of righteousness to wear that would make us fit to be seen in the presence of his God and Father. Verse 30. Give to everyone who begs from you. Ouch. Everyone. He means it. I mentioned before the struggle I have with this given our modern ways. I next to never have cash on me at all anymore. My wife is always yelling at me about that. My friend Phil, he suggested that that's why he keeps cash in his car, so as not to be caught out empty-handed when a person begging crosses his path. And there's so many of them around us these days. I think that's really wise. I just keep forgetting to get the cash. It's on my list for the next payday, though. Because giving is one of the joys of belonging to Jesus. Do you remember how Luke records in Acts a saying which shows up nowhere in the Holy Gospels, but surely rings with the truth of coming directly from Jesus' own lips? Acts 20, verse 35. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, here it is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 30, continuing, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Do not demand them back as though the goods were the important thing. You got a rich heavenly Father. He'll take care of your earthly needs. Instead, wonder about how you may win this thief to the Lord. Can you imagine the look on their face? If you catch them in the act and say, oh, just keep it. It's my gift to you. But can I tell you about a far, far greater gift? Verse 31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And there he finally comes to the summary of everything he's been teaching. The measure of our life is not to be pay them back, but what would I want done to me? The great 16th century reformer Martin Luther said about this, if you want others to do it to you, you begin and be the first. And if they refuse, you do it anyway. That's where we're going to have to call our stop for today. Jesus isn't done with this theme. In the next show, we'll hear him expand it a bit further and even up the ante. Because beyond doing to others what we want them to do to us, there's the great mercy of the Father that we've come to know in Jesus. And that mercy summons us to a love which has zero concern about reciprocity. It just wants to give of itself freely and perfectly. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can make a year-end, tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.